Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 13 in your pew Bibles. And we read Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the book of Hebrews. It's on page 1291 in your pew Bibles. And we read Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1114, and we read Luke 12, beginning at verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide for yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. A text is based on your epistle lesson for today to the Hebrews. At chapter 11, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." This is our text. There's a story about a child who went out to play baseball one day, trying to learn the game. He picked up a bat and a ball, and as I remember from my own youth, went into the backyard, threw the ball up in the air, and tried to hit it. He missed. He reached down, picked up the ball, threw it up in the air again, took a swing with the bat, and missed. For the third time, he reached down, grabbed the ball, threw it up into the air, took a mighty swing, and missed again. Three strikes. He thought to himself about what he had just experienced for about a minute. And then he said to himself, "I never knew I was that great of a pitcher." Sometimes, certain people, see things that everybody else misses. And so it is with faith. Faith allows us to see things that other people can't see. We have examples of that in our gospel lesson for today. You know, when some people look up at the birds in the sky, They shake their finger and they said, "You made me wash my car again." Jesus saw something different. He saw how wonderfully God cares for these animals. And if God sees to it that the birds of the air are wonderfully fed, though they don't sow or reap or gather into barns, how much more will those who were made in God's own image be cared for? Some people see a lily of the field starting to grow up in their lawn and they say, "I need that bottle of weed killer." Not so Jesus. He looked at the lilies of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, and described that if God so wonderfully and beautifully clothes them, how much more will he clothe those who were made in his image? But not only were we made in the image of God, but after we had fallen into sin, after rebellion had taken over our lives, God goes to his only Son, and he asks him to take on our frail human flesh and to go to the cross and to give up his life in a most cruel and, if you will, inhuman way, that by his death and his resurrection we might have eternal life. Ultimately, it is through the cross and through the resurrection that we as Christians take on, if you will, a type of vision that is unlike the vision of the rest of the world. I've noted this before, but take a look at that object that we put at the front of our churches. It's a human torture device. And we gather here, and we love to look at it. What kind of weird people are we? Well, we see it differently. We see it as a sign of hope and of comfort. We know that Christ died there, but we know also that he died there for us. We see the cross as a supreme act of love. And if God can take something so horrible and ugly as this truly is in the world's eyes and change it into a source of blessing, in fact, for us, the greatest sign of God's love and mercy towards us, how much more is God able to take trials, troubles, tragedies, and pain, and suffering, and failures in our own life? And if we look at them through the eye of faith, also transform them into something good. That's that passage in Romans chapter 8, that God is at work in everything for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But the world doesn't know how to look for good in bad things. When something bad happens in the life of someone who doesn't know Christ, all they know how to pray for is to pray, God, get rid of this. I don't like it. It hurts. I want it gone. But that is not how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, is it? Yes, we can pray to God that he remove trials and troubles from our life. So did Jesus. If it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so we too need to pray with faith. Perhaps asking God to take something that's difficult away. But God, if you can't do that, then show me what can be done with this difficult thing in my life. Is there an example that I can provide for others? Is there an opportunity to bear witness to my faith that this is allowing me to do? In countless ways, even striking out, positive things can be revealed. If you know how to look at them, not the way a sinful world looks at them, only focused on the here and now, and not taking into account the hereafter, but looking at things, realizing that our true treasures are in heaven. That what we accumulate in this world really doesn't ultimately matter. That the glory that is one day to be ours cannot be compared to the momentary difficulties that we experience here on this earth. We examine all things with a new type of lens. A lens that's focused on heaven and not the here and now. A lens that can see good coming out of even evil, like the cross. And our world doesn't have this lens, this point of view. And it desperately needs it. As your job and mine to help the world, if you will, refocus. You know, we live in an era where blessings are incredibly abundant. Even to, in the worldly sense, the least among us. We sit here today in the sanctuary in air-conditioned comfort. Do you know what you'd be doing 100 years ago in church? Sweat pouring down your brow. People collapsing on occasion from the heat. When you go to the grocery store, how many skinny people do you see? We have great abundance where we live right now. And yet, how many angry people do you encounter just out and about? People dissatisfied with life, complaining and groaning about this and that. Violence erupting. People thinking that shooting up a bunch of other people is somehow fun. The crazy world we live in. People, while we have abundant blessings, pay no attention to what we have, but focus only on what we don't have. We need to teach others how to see life through the eye of faith. faith in a merciful and loving God who gives us all things that we need to serve Him during the short time that we are here on earth, and who has promised us to give us the kingdom when our life on earth is over. That's what the eye of faith sees. And it changes how we live in the world. As the patriarchs of old were changed and sometimes did crazy things in the world's eyes, Noah builds a boat in the desert. He becomes the laughingstock of the world because he had faith in the promises of God. And yet he was delivered. Abraham, when called upon by God, takes his son up a mountain and he's about to plunge a knife into the heart of his son. How crazy is that? But he trusted that God, who made a promise to him about that very son, even if he plunged a knife into his heart, would still somehow be faithful to that promise. Faith believes what it doesn't see yet. And it acts on that unseen rather than that which is seen. Faith looks at trials and troubles. And though we don't know how God can bring something good out of it, we believe that He can. And so if He doesn't remove that trial or trouble, rather than yelling and screaming at Him, rather than simply saying that He doesn't exist, or that He must be an angry God, we trust and believe and ask Him to show us the way. And when we pray with that kind of faith, God is faithful. And ultimately, He will show us the way. That makes us different from the rest of the world. And it also means that we have something precious and important to bring to the world. Do you know people that are sorrow and can't be consoled? People in despair who have no hope. People who are angry because they can't see the blessings that God has given. People who are just living for now and don't realize that there is a glorious life to come. The mission that God has given to you and to me is to change their vision, to help them see with the eye of faith what is unseen to a world without it. God, help us to always look at life with the eye of faith. May He also help and guide us to give to the rest of the world that wonderful vision that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.